If you are a good servant leader and help build other people up, does it mean that you're subservient or you're a slave to some other people because you're a servant to them? It means you actually see the mission for the long term and can help put people in the right places in the short term to get to that end result that you desire.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Five Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. I interview the top commercial real estate investors and industry experts so you can learn from their experiences. So if you're an investor, a high W-2 earner, or real estate or tech sales professional that wants to invest in real estate without having to manage properties or leave your day job, then this podcast is for you. Or if you are already investing in real estate, but you're doing it part-time and you want to become a full-time multifamily or full-time commercial real estate investor, this podcast is for you too. You're going to learn a ton. You will learn from real-life multifamily investors and other professionals in the industry. They're going to share their blueprints for success, and I'm super excited that you're here. So I hope you enjoy the show.
Abel, what's going on, my man? You doing all right?
Yes, sir. Doing excellent. Thanks a lot for joining us. We really appreciate it. For everyone, hello, hello. My name is Abel Pacheco. I am the host of Five Talents Podcast, where we talk about commercial real estate, multifamily, financial freedom, among other topics. And I wanted to bring an amazing guest here today, Mr. Marcus Ogden. And I'm going to allow you to introduce yourself, Marcus, because I don't think I'll do you justice. But, you know, before I get started, I know a few things, right? I've hired you personally as my coach, as a mentor. We've been meeting sometime this past year, and I met you at a real estate conference, and you had a tremendous background, a tremendous story. You've gone through some time, so I definitely want to dig into those. But, you know, you played football, Howard University through college. That was 1998 to 2002. Puts us right around the same age. I graduated in 98 as well.
Nice.
Yep. And you got drafted in the NFL in 2003. You played for a number of teams, which is just an outstanding, you know, kind of resume and background. You played for the Titans.
I did.
You played for the Bills, the Ravens, the Jaguars.
That's correct.
Offensive lineman. That's that's some career, my friend. And I know through that process, you started some, you know, multi-million dollar construction firm. And that was one of the original things that I heard when I reached out to you and said, wow, this guy has had a lot of success. Felt the highs and the lows, and I need somebody to help coach me through that. And hence, I reached out to you. So, and now today, man, keynote speaker, a published author, a success coach. You've got so many things going on, and I'm just excited, you know, to dig in. So, you know, Marcus, if you could, let's just jump right in, man. Tell us a little bit about your background. I know you've said this probably a number of times, but man, it's worth my network hearing your background.
No, absolutely, Abel. I went to Howard University. I was drafted in the National Football League, played almost six seasons, got out of the NFL. I struggled immensely with transition and how to adapt and cope to life after football. And I eventually found a construction real estate development company in downtown Baltimore. I started that in 2008, and by the time of 2011, I was the largest African-American subcontractor in the city of Baltimore, state of Maryland, in the area of site work. And again, we dabbled in real estate development, as well as construction, and also some property management as well. But unfortunately, Abel, as the company grew and had a lot of success, my ego grew bigger than the Empire State Building. And when that happened, I stopped listening to my trusted advisors, to my team. And I eventually went bankrupt, Abel, in 2013 when I got onto a project and it was a $4 million project. We went about close to $2.5 to $3 million over budget, correcting an issue that was on the plans, but it was not done by us. It was supposed to be done by someone else. And we ended up having to do the work to kind of keep the project moving. We were promised a change order to be paid back by the client. shook my hand when I went to go get repaid my work and all my money that I had invested able into the project. They denied my change order and I went bankrupt in 2013. My bank line was cut off by my bank. The equipment line was recalled and all the real estate that we had, all the assets that I had were either foreclosed on or repossessed. That includes home, property. That includes my cars. Both my cars were repossessed in the same day when I got down to North Carolina. And April 2012, I was a multimillionaire. Cash, you know, assets, company, value, worth, all that great stuff. By 2013, within 12 months exactly, I got to Raleigh, $400 to my name. That's it. Went into working for Merrill Lynch and got into some other jobs. I was fired from two jobs in the same week. I ended up working as a custodian in September 2013 for about 6 months, making $8.25 an hour, Abel. My weekly checks were $311 after tax. I worked from 10 p.m. until 5 a.m. on the night shift, and I had a pivotal moment, Abel, where someone's trash and rotten meat and banana peel got on my bare skin, body, and clothes, and I said, wow, where is my life? And I realized that my life was full of no accountability, no ownership, no mentorship, no guidance. I was just plain, always blaming other people for my failures. And I eventually said, enough's enough. I figured out what I wanted to do. I figured out what I was good at, Abel. And I said, I can be a good communicator, tell stories, and help people. I said, I'll be a speaker. Started that September 2013. Didn't get a paid speaking job, Abel, for 2.5 years. Finally got my first one April 2016, and I haven't looked back. I've worked for Merrill Lynch. I've worked for Axie Advisors. I've worked for Elite Legacy, where we met. I've worked for real estate firms. I've worked for the Kaminsky Group out in Orange County, California. I've worked for big mortgage companies. I've worked for title companies. I've worked for a plethora of banking institutions, Home Depot, you name it. But what I tell people, Abel, is like I'm coaching you. It's about you want to give people your full story. That way they know who you are, can relate to you. And that way they feel like, Abel, you know, when you tell me something, you make a mistake, oh, I wish I had done that, Abel, you know, it'll never be as bad as spending almost $3 million in 90 days and losing a company because I'll never let you do that. It will never happen to you like it happened to me. So that's the part of my coaching, my speaking, my consulting. I give my clients my all so they don't make the same mistakes that I did.
What a tremendous background. For some of you guys that weren't expecting that right off the bat, you're hearing NFL, you're hearing multi-million dollar construction, you're hearing a lot of success, author, keynote speaker, coach. And then right off the bat, man, you ran into some times where you chose some bad, you know, made some bad decisions, partnerships, growth, et cetera. And from that to a custodian and in a matter of a few years. And man, so I heard, if you're just listening or watching this video right now, I heard something similar over, we met myself and Marcus at Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Elite Legacy. It's a real estate education program and seminars, the first one that I joined it. And I heard him there and I go, this is the individual that I absolutely have to reach out to. He's had the highs, he's had some lows. I want to make sure he coaches me how to get to the highs and avoid my lows.
There and, you go.
You've been delivering ever since I've met you, man. And on a weekly basis, on point. So just, you know, wanted to tell you, thank you very much. Very, very sincerely and grateful for all the help that you know, helped me.
Well, Abel, you're a great client and friend because you apply the knowledge and you don't expect Abel, anyone to hand you anything. And people that are listening, people like Abel who are doing this podcast to benefit you, if you're listening, get one or two golden nuggets from this conversation and apply them. Don't try to master everything because it's not going to happen. It's not going to be realistic. And it takes time to build an empire. I've been working with Abel now for almost a year, and he's had huge growth since I've known him. He's much more prudent. He's always been hardworking and diligent, but now he's very strategic. He's very tactical. He understands how to see the big picture. He's a great planner. But most importantly, Abel is really good at building a great team. And that's what you have to be successful, people. You have to have an amazing team around you to help you achieve what you want to achieve, without a doubt.
Yep. You're making me blush, brother. You're making me blush. So I think our listeners are going to be blessed today. I know they will, man. You've got a lot of nuggets. So let me start here. I love mindset. I love the ambition, the motivation, the perseverance, the determination, just the sheer will of like your turnaround story. For a moment, you know, help our listeners understand what was going through your mind at the lowest of the lows, and maybe how you picked yourself back up and, man, turned it around to some another amazing success after success.
Well, when I had the spoiled milk moment, Abel, I was on the curb with my head in my hands, and I was crying for about 10 minutes. And what I thought about was, why did I get here? How did I get here? And what I realized, Abel, was I stopped listening to my trusted team, and I lost the team development career value driver, which includes and consists of open dialogue, having a good, healthy, you know, inclusion, and respecting people at the highest degree. And I stopped that because I felt being the owner and the CEO, I could just do that and was just could run the ship. And that was incorrect of me. And what I realized at that low moment was, if I'm going to get my life back together, it's got to start with the first things first is accountability and ownership. And if you're someone that's struggling right now, or you're doing okay, but you want to do better, look at yourself in the mirror and figure out, what are you good at? Take accountability of your life and what you're doing. And then as you start to figure out what you're good at, start to construct a diagram, a visual image of the team members that you want around you to help you soar. And that's what it was for me. And it took me years till I was this flat broke, Abel. But once I was able to get a little bit of sustain, some traction, and hit a couple of things under my belt, then I found my business partner. She is phenomenal with content creation and with development. Then she brought in my website person. And now we have a branding and marketing person. We have a videographer. We have a patent and trademark person. And we're about to actually, I was telling you this earlier, we have a person who's going to help build us a funnel to streamline everything into one smooth operation where we don't have to have things piecemeal all the time, different locations. We're going to really start to become more centralized to scale. So to answer your question more specifically is that I realized at the low point, Abel, that the only person I had to blame was myself. And once I took full advantage and did that, that's when life got better.
Yeah. Accountability and ownership are principles, and they apply way beyond commercial real estate, way beyond, you know, any kind of industry. Really expands. If you're doing that as a leader, that's where you're really going to allow others to kind of benefit from you pointing them in the right direction. I heard earlier communication, you thought you were at a point where you weren't listening or you didn't need to listen. And so right. You stopped listening. And I've definitely been there several times through my career. You can ask some of my sales guys. They had a nickname for me. They called me, "Oh, you got Pacheco'd." And I thought it was a term of endearment at first. And then I realized, oh, it means I shut them down without listening.
And, that's right.
I go, oh, shoot, something needs to change. And, you know, that's an amazing, you know, kind of mindset just to understand it. So you realize this, you know, at those moments. Talk about, you know, your maybe the mindset to kind of have this positive trajectory. You realize accountability, ownership, you have to go. What was your next step as you have your spoiled milk moment? Was it like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to assume anything.
No, that's a great question.
What was the next step, you know?
So I came home that morning after the ship. I sat down in the chair and I was stinky, all the stuff on me. But I wanted to do it right then before I forgot. I wrote down the three things I was best at.
Okay.
The three strengths. And once I figured out the three strengths, then I looked at the strengths and I said, what career path makes sense that I would enjoy, have passion for, and to help others based off these three strengths? And I came up with keynote speaking. So I tell everybody, when you're in business, in real estate, what are the three strengths you're good at in real estate? What do you do best? What do you do, you know, what do you do good? Are you good at sales? Are you good at strategic? Are you good at building a team? Are you good at the operations side? Are you good at crunching numbers? Whatever that case, find three strengths. and then build out your portfolio, your business from there. And as you get enough capital, you get enough resources, add people to the team to help you strengthen what you are weak at.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, right? If you're there, if they're your strengths, your strongest points, you're going to be more excited. You're going to be more motivated. You're passionate. And then you help others to work around some of your weaknesses, right? Yeah, build the right team.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. So today you use your story, which I think, you know, frankly, many people would have quit, would give up. They would be at this low point, and we would have never heard the greatness that was their turnaround story in either books or public speaking. And you were able to kind of harness that, right? So today you're using the hardest parts of your life, and you're motivating, encouraging, and inspiring others to have massive success as well. So what's that like, man? Tell me about the goodness of everything you're doing.
Well, you know what it's like, Abel? It's kind of like when you're able to take your story, your mistakes, your things you did wrong, and turn them into a right, and give people a platform and a basis to say, you know what? I too can get my life back on track. Or I too made mistakes here. Let me do this and get there. And kind of like you, like when I met you, you were successful, you know, great job. Things were going really well and smooth, but you wanted more. You wanted to be able to how to build. You needed process. You needed systems. You needed things to kind of put in place to get you from A to Z. Well, that's what I did, because I gave you a lot of the same processes that I used to go from A to Z with my construction company at the height when it was top line successful. But on top of that, Abel, I've also told you things to avoid. The pitfalls, the don't get mesmerized by early success. You know, don't focus on, you know, just trying to make money, money, money. Focus on the value you're going to give people through your words, through your actions, through your process. All of these things are absolutely pivotal to your success. So being able to help give people some type of a streamlined process and or system that they can implement into their own life to get things going is absolutely an amazing feeling, because it allows us and them to see the value that they have beyond their sticking or their pain points.
Yeah, it's a game changer for sure when – you know, I view some of the activities that I've done or completed, and you kind of, you know, highlight some of the things that I didn't even realize I was doing for a number of years, and, you know, help me put together a strategic process, tactical, strategic, even, you know, on the basics. I told everyone to set their goals for years, and, you know, had this it driven, oh, you gotta hit this goal, you gotta write it down, you gotta implement. But here we are starting with one of your, you know, number of first meetings with me, and we're like talking about goals. I start for a minute to roll my eyes, goal setting. And I go, goal setting. But, you know, it's absolutely necessary, 100%. You know, write it down, put your strategy together, put your tactical plan together, and it's, you know, it's awesome. So do you find the same with many of your coaching students, or any of the people you?
Yeah, I mean, they're really good at telling others how to lay things out. But then when it comes to setting their own goals, they feel sometimes it makes them like, oh, I'm egotistical if I talk about my own goals too much, or I'm too self-centered. I'm like, well, no. Like, you have to be realistic. Like, servant leadership is all about seeing the mission and seeing the end result in sight. If you are a good servant leader and help build people up, does it mean that you're subservient or you're a slave to some other people because you're a servant to them? It means you actually see the mission for the long term and can help put people in the right places in the short term to get to that end result that you desire. But it's hard, because a lot of times people get upset and like, oh, I want to do this. Well, again, you have to understand that everything in the mission is the final result. Not your ego, not your pride. It's about the end mission. And I did a radio show today. I'm a radio co-host for a show that's on 107.9 in Jacksonville. And I talked about, like, a great servant leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., how, you know, people, you know, he served everybody. Didn't mean he was subservient. It means that he knew how to serve a cause, Abel, greater than himself.
Absolutely, man. I am. I love the term servant leader. I've tried to emulate, you know, as much as possible, servant leaders around me and other people that have helped me succeed. A lot of times they, you know, would get their hands dirty, dig in, show me how to do it once, coach me through it a second time, and then, you know, give me feedback on a third time. And I realize, the servant leaders, they're the ones that have massive traction within their business, because it just allows them to you know, gain trust really quickly, and then the others can implement. So yeah, 100% agree.
So you always can remember this is a saying that we use a lot with our clients. Building relationships plus building trust equals loyalty. If you're able to build relationships authentically and build trust, you know, genuinely and in a non-aggressive, non-pushy manner, it will develop loyalty with your client base all day, every day.
So if you are, if you're listening right now and you are a new general partner, a new operator, a new syndicator, and you're trying to raise capital for some of your multifamily deals, you know, rewind that for a moment and just realize that the relationship plus trust equals loyalty. And you're trying to figure out, you know, how in the world am I going to raise $3 million for my next deal? There's a key point. You got to serve your investors, be a good steward of their money. Build some trust through a relationship. It'll create loyalty. So, man, that's awesome. And if you're not taking notes right now, I think you're doing something wrong. Please start over. I've even got my pen out and I'm taking some notes, and I meet with Marcus at least once a week. So some
good that's awesome.
Hello, hello. You're listening to the Five Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. If you're enjoying this podcast, then I know you're serious about achieving financial freedom. Are you ready to create your own path through multifamily investing for yourself and your family? Then I know you're going to appreciate our investor's guide to multifamily investing. It's titled Tackling Commercial Real Estate the Easy Way. We use this guide to invest ourselves in $93 million worth of real estate. So we're going to show you the basic mechanics of multifamily syndications and how to evaluate your next passive investment opportunity. So the best part, if you subscribe to our podcast now, leave us a review and a rating, I'm going to give you a free copy of our ebook. So please take a moment to do that now. Once you've done that, go to 5tcre.com/ebook, 5tcre.com/ebook. Make sure to let us know you left a review and we're going to send you a free copy. So thank you so much for subscribing to the Five Talents Podcast. We really appreciate it. So from a passive investor standpoint, I've got a lot of people that are also passive investors. So they're trying to figure out, you know, what is the right team to put some money into, or the right team to work with? What's the right deal to invest in? And I know the bankruptcy part was pretty specific to your scenario, but I'm sure there were lessons there that apply to somebody like a passive investor that's meeting a team for the first time. And, you know, we're trying to build a relationship and decide whether or not I should invest $50,000 into a new deal. Do you have any nuggets for the passive investors? Like how to, you know, just.
There's three things they need to live by. Number one, they need to know the business. They need to know the ins and outs of the business. So if someone's talking to them from that group, they can comprehend and understand them in a very smart and a cohesive manner. Number two, always vet that person or those people. Get to know them, do background checks. You can spend a few dollars on that. If anybody doesn't want to give you your social security number or some type of background information to help you be able to know who they are, then you don't want to work with those people because they're not trustworthy, like you said. So background check the people. And the third thing, background check the entire project. And I mean by that, who is not just a team of people, but what's the location? What's the old area? What's, you know, what we look like for the comps in that area? Trying to understand from a holistic perspective what that really looks like. So if you're able to do those things, right, know the business you're getting into, know real estate enough to be able to talk it. You don't have to be able to talk it to like every single last degree, but talk it to a standpoint where you understand, you know, investing or land acquisition or looking at different, you know, comps or returns or, you know, different doors, you know, be able to know the talk enough to understand it. then understand how to vet that team, and then vet the particular deal and the area and the comps. Doing that as a passive investor, I feel gives you the best chance to make a smart strategic decision on whether you should invest with that group and or not.
Ideal. Again, a lot of nuggets there. And if you want an expanded version on that, I'll kind of plug. I just created our first ebook, and it's on our website, 5tcre.com/ebook. We created an investor guide. It's almost, you know, without discussing this with you at all, Marcus, this is, the same things in line. We tell our investors, you need to know the deal, and you talked about the business. You need to know the team and the market, and some of the bullet points that Marcus pointed out. You know, he's a pro. So, you know, check that out. And that's very valuable. So the passive investors that are listening are from all different types of backgrounds. Some are in, you know, professional jobs in, you know, whatever kind of industry, healthcare, some are attorneys, some are consultants, some are engineers, some are IT, some are teachers, firemen, you know, all different types of backgrounds really that I've worked with, you know, from a passive investor standpoint. You work with a very diverse, you've coached a diverse number of clients across, you know, many different platforms. Can you give us any broad, you know, strokes across industry when it comes to like investment advice or what people are looking for, and, you know, just any insight across your, you know, because you see it all, your purview?
Yeah. So basically what I feel is, from what I've seen in the marketplace, getting into good commercial real estate with good people like yourself who know the land, who know the diversification, that are trustworthy and can analyze deals to a great degree. That, my good man, is what needs to be done. People that get involved with people that really don't know things or can't answer questions or aren't patient or prudent, I would not work with those people. But people like yourself, who understand the process, that do the full due diligence, you're not pushy or annoying, you're value-driven, like your podcast, like your ebook. Those are the people I would tell these passive investors to get involved with, because people like yourself are the ones that are actually doing great things in the marketplace, because you've made enough of a good mark, a good legacy, because of the way you treat, like you said, your existing, you know, investors, your past investors. And this is what people need to understand. Look at the person that's leading the organization and look at their history, their social proof, but most importantly, Abel, their pattern recognition. How are they? What are they like? And how do they treat people throughout the process? So people that are listening, all these different backgrounds, I'm going to tell you, it really depends on the lead and be able to have their patterns match with your patterns. And then from there, get an alignment able around a shared vision of a project and move forward with great trajectory and great deliverables.
Yep. Yeah. For the operators and general partners that might be listening, one advice or one point that Marcus has given me many times, which is, if you have alignment of goals, alignment of vision, it's much easier to get in a partnership. And I think, you know, we partner for deals for like 4 or 5 years. So I want to make sure I'm partnered with the right team, right people, right individuals. And it really does start there. There's a lot of other things that we're looking at, but, you know, at a broad stroke, I want to make sure my alignment of vision and goals vision is there, because, you know, then we can weed out, like, well, how do you do operations? How do you handle investor relations? How do you, you know, manage the property? Much different if the vision or alignment of goals don't match on the high level. So
agreed.
So now, from a one of the things I always love hearing from you is the market, kind of what's currently happening in the market, what's currently happening in the economy. You have a number of students also across industries, and you know, you work for a lot of big name organizations, Home Depot, JP Morgan Chase, you know, huge, the food producers, I don't know if you've mentioned their names, but a lot of these larger organizations are trying to figure out, like, man, how do I move the needle forward? How do I make sure my business is still here? How do I, you know, take care of my employees? So maybe you can give us, you know, just overall market picture. Like, how are these companies viewing things for their employees and COVID, and what, how are they pivoting, you know?
You have to pivot to the art of social selling. Brands that are putting out great content on social media, brands that are touching people for multiple touch points, blogs, newsletters, podcasts, radio interviews, those are the brands that are going to be here. If you're not doing that, in 3 to 5 years, you risk being completely out of business. Because we don't know, Abel, when the old way will come back and the new norm will be gone. It may never happen, but they're saying at least 18 months. So brands are really concerned about pivoting to get out their social selling image. One of my clients, I work with MRI. MRI is a global staffing company. I'm trying to work with them on a bigger level for the global operations at their headquarters in Miami. Trying to do some things with them nationally, virtually, all across the globe. They have 350 offices, Abel, across the globe. The new CEO who bought the company 18 months ago, he's almost 60 years old, said, Marcus, you will be a great speaker, a great consultant, a great potential coach with our group because you understand the importance and the art of social selling where other people, and some of my franchise owners are struggling to get that comprehension through their head. So people need to understand companies. I'm actually working with the company's Red Goal. I coach their sales teams, leadership teams, and all in between. And we're talking tomorrow about how to really get into the art of social selling. LinkedIn, how to come across genuine, not salesy. But it really comes down to, Abel, posting content and doing these three things, having engaging content, having diverse content, and consistently posting your content. If you become a thought leader in your industry, mm-hmm. the phone conversations become that much easier to do. But again, engaging content, diverse content, consistent content, that will win the race for any big corporation and any real estate investor, passive investor that's trying to just find the right sweet spot to go from where they are to where they want to be.
Yeah. And you said Red Gold, the tomato company? Tomatoes? Like canned tomatoes, right?
That's my client.
So, you know, for anybody listening, just think about this, right? So you have Red Gold, they, you know, canned tomatoes and get tomato products everywhere. They're asking Marcus to coach him on social selling and engagement content, you know, how to figure out how to get that out. So if you are in an industry a little bit, you know, I don't know, that should be on the internet more than the tomato company, right? You need to realize and understand, like, you've got to pick it up. If you've never, you know, been a social, you know, kind of content creator, engagement, you've never figured it out. It's the time you have to dive deeper into the moment and just realize that, you know, COVID has changed everything. The pandemic has changed everything. We record this in August of 2020. And, you know, I don't know the next time we're really going to be excited to be a thousand people in a room.
Yeah, where, absolutely.
You know, we listen to a speaker at the front of the stage and shake hands in between. And, you know, it's just, I don't know when the next time that's going to happen. You got to pivot. So let's talk about your pivot, man. I'd love to learn more. So you were a keynote speaker, public speaker, author, and that's kind of what you're doing. And now there are no audiences getting together. So what have you done in the moment that, you know, maybe somebody like myself can learn and say, you know what, I need to do the same things to get my exposure, my brand, my awareness out there.
I am pivoting now to things online. We do virtual conferences, virtual events. I coach Red Gold, 3 groups, 3 times a month, 1-hour calls on Zoom. They have about 15 to 18 people, 15 to 20 people on each group, on each Zoom call. So that's going phenomenal. We're doing a lot of our books are out there, getting out there, doing well, but we've pivoted, Abel, completely to that virtual side. And we actually just signed a deal today with a big internet marketing company that they on the digital side, digital selling. And we're going to create our first funnel with them, the mindset funnel, talking about how to go. We're going to create a webinar. And then the webinar will lead people up the chain, different things, different products, and it'll give them to stay on for this at the end of this webinar. If you buy our course, take our offer, you get all this free stuff, you know, coming on and coming around. and we'll get to that point, and we're going to give them that free content. So we're about to go automated 365, 24/7, running these webinars. We're going to start doing Facebook ads, you know, after that, but we're going to launch our first webinar and go to market within the next 60 days. And once we do that and construct that, we'll take money that we make from the webinar and then start running Facebook ads using that same funnel we already created and generating profit by getting the people again. Because of my story, what I've been through, we're going to open up with the mindset funnel. Then eventually we'll go into a sales funnel and work our way down the line.
Got it. Yeah, I think huge advocate for education, coaching, mentorship, paying for it, getting it any which way possible if you don't have somebody that's giving you their time for free. But, you know, the way you're putting it together, you know, people need, you know, or have more access. You're only one man. You only have so much time. Your time is extremely valuable. So you're putting together in a way for scale, right? So many multiple people can now benefit from lessons learned.
And they'll purchase and they'll have the final offer, which will be the mental toughness course to help them. They can buy for a price. And then if they want me for consulting or group coaching, the price will go higher because we're looking to create money automatically and recurring revenue through the webinar. That's like there's a guy named Sam Ovens. He makes like $10 million a year with the same funnel that the company that I just hired created for him 5 years ago.
Yep.
Tony Robbins makes, you know, $250 million, you know, $50 million a year or more than that, you know, off of his products. Probably say $50 million a year round number off his stuff. Grant Cardone made a bunch of money off his stuff. You know, Brendan Burchard, same thing. But you need to have the right person create the funnel that knows and has the audience to grow it. Once you've launched it once, you pick up cash from that launch, then it's time to hit the market with paid advertisement through the Facebook ads, which is exactly what we're going to do with him. And we go to market. I have my first kickoff call with him Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern to take this thing and start scaling it within the next 60 days.
Get it on. And so let's talk about this for a moment too, because I think that's amazing. I think about the value that I receive from our coaching classes. You know, gladly pay you twice as much probably as what I'm paying you today. Okay. And you have a minimum time allotted for coaching students. So your way to scale is these classes. Now, I've signed up for a number of programs, probably like 5 in the last couple of years for real estate. Every single one has helped me increase performance, success, my odds of winning, right?
Yep.
I constantly get hit though now on LinkedIn, on Facebook, like, oh, can you show me how to do it? Can you just teach me everything you know? Can you mentor me and coach me? And, you know, the moment that I start to say, I really don't have time, you know, I get this request 4 to 5, 6 times a week, right? Now, you know, time is valuable. You probably have a number of people that have said no to you over the years. Nah, I don't think I'm going to pay for that classes. I don't think I'm going to pay for the mentorship. What, you know, what do you think kind of is the big, you know, the big differentiator? Maybe somebody that says, you know what, I'm going to pay for education, pay for coaching, or somebody that says, nah, I'm just going to go back to doing what I did. That guy charges money for it. He's like a guru, and it's not, it's one of those guys. He's going to charge
right.
me for it.
And that's when you tell people everything that you invest. It's like, you know, it's the old saying, you get what you pay for. If you get something for free, it's going to be an upsell at some point. Otherwise, why even bother with the product? So what I tell people all the time is understand there's an investment to achieve greatness. If you don't want to invest the dollars that are necessary to get you to the point where you need to be in life, then don't even bother trying to go to the level of success, because it's not going to be achieved, because what's going to happen is you're going to have no idea how to manage it, scale it, and or able to avoid the pitfalls that can take you down to the depths of the sea. So the old classic saying, you get what you pay for.
Yep. And the people that do take action with you, What similarities do you find among, you know, all the different industries? Because you coach a lot of people, professional coaching, executive coaching, you know, all kinds of, you know, different things other than real estate, correct?
Right. Oh, yeah. Everybody is driven. I have clients that want to be real estate. I have clients that want to scale their business. I have clients that want to be speakers. I have clients that want to, become better coaches. I have clients that want to better work for the bank. They want to become better leaders in the bank. I have people that, you know, are transitioning from one thing to another. All the ones that work with me, that do what they need to do, are the ones that are driven. And if you're driven, in that retrospect, that tells me that you can achieve what you want because you're driven to achieve success. You're going to invest and pay the price to get that done.
Yep. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Okay. What are the biggest areas are the reasons why people fail the most, and then how do you help them get back up each time?
People fail the most because they're not willing to listen to others that have been there and are teaching them. And then what happens when people fail, what we do is, and they work with us, we get them to see where they failed at. And then once they see it and able to adjust it, that's when things go to the higher level for them to achieve success.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you very much. So the last couple of points, and give you back your valuable time, and I appreciate it. Before we wrap up, I want to make sure, where do people reach out to Marcus Ogden? How do I get in your world? You know, are you taking new coaching clients? Give us a little bit of insight, man. If I like something I've heard today, I want to reach out to you. I want to use you here as a coach. What do they do?
So they can go to our website, www.marcusogden.com. They can also shoot me a message through email, marcus_ogden@yahoo.com. And they can just connect with us. You know, they can find me on LinkedIn, they can find me on Facebook. They can hit us up and just connect with us. All the consultations are free, hearing about who you are, where you are, how you want to advance your career. And then I can tell you how we can potentially help you. If it's a fit for you, we will then work together to join forces to help you achieve what you want for success.
Nice. For all the listeners or viewers, we'll put those in the show notes so you can connect and it'll be there. Also, the titles of your books, you've got two or three books? Two?
I have two books. The first one is Sleepless Nights, bestseller, some autobiography. And the second book is The Success Cycle. And that came out January 20th of this year. That's in every Barnes & Noble bookstore across the country. It's online on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and also able to turn to an audio book by Amazon and Audible. And that came out about 3 weeks ago, which is doing very, very well in the space.
Nice. Very nice. And you're the technical term here. You're a number one or number. What is the best selling author of?
Yeah.
What's the title, man? I don't want to miss this up.
It's the number. We're the best selling author. We're a best selling author, Amazon. And we're also broken to the top 25 in our category for our books. So we're very blessed for that. And to get a book on the business section of Barnes & Noble, Abel, is very difficult. And we are now there, and it's great for us, and we're very excited about that going forward into the new year.
That's great. I've read the Success Cycles, and I kind of heard your voice as you're talking through it. Like, I love it. And then, but I haven't read Sleepless Nights. So I guess your autobiography sounds.
Yep. That's a good one. The first one was a good one. It's lay of the land. The second one is more of action steps, tips, advice, strategies to help you in your individual business moving forward.
Yep, makes a lot of sense. Well, the last, you know, couple points here, if I don't waste too much of your time or take up too much of your time, it's you circling back to the NFL. There were so many lessons, probably determination, perseverance, all the things that it took to get there. What enabled you to have that, you know, that those moments there in the NFL? There was probably some things when you're in college where I bet you someone else had physical abilities as well, but they just didn't make it. What, you know, give us a few lessons there.
That's all down to mindset. You have to have three things. You have to have a championship. You have to embrace a championship mindset. You have to believe in yourself at the core at all costs. And you can't be fazed by rejection. That's my three-step action resiliency plan. And it's imperative that you have that. Again, you have to do that in that regard. And if you don't have, again, you have to embrace that championship mindset. You have to make sure at all costs that you believe in yourself to your core. And at all costs, you have to make sure that you're not fazed by rejection. If you do those three things and are resilient, no matter what you face in life, you will always come out on top.
Man, outstanding. Outstanding, Marcus. Well, before you go completely, is there anything that, you know, we haven't touched on, anything that you wanted to share, anything that we didn't cover, you know, deep enough, man? You have as much time as you need, my friend.
I would just say this one last thing to your audience. You have to believe it before you see it. If you don't believe in yourself first, don't expect anybody else to. Don't expect to see any results. So you have to first believe it before you see it.
That's it, man. Believe it. Vision, belief, get it in there, put it in writing, look at it every single day, and get it on. Well, Marcus, thank you very much for the time. I sincerely appreciate it. I think you're gonna help a lot of people just with the few nuggets you shared. And you know, if you like something you heard, reach out to Marcus Ogden, and he'll definitely help you through, you know, whichever obstacle or challenge or big goal you have. And you know, that's how I originally reached out to you. I had this huge goal, and I go, I don't know how to do this. I'm gonna reach out.
And look where you are today. You're running multiple businesses. You're raising capital left and right. You're running a podcast. You've written an ebook. You're writing an actual book. Look where you are. So It's all about, again, what I say, you made the decision. The investment was worth the return. And look what you're returning now, from your capital raise to your businesses to all you're doing. That's exactly why, Abel, you're winning.
Marcus, it has been a nice steady push along the way. A lot of action items, a lot of homework, and feels like every time I come back, I'm like, yep, this is the next thing. Yep, this is the next thing. All up and to the right, and I'm excited. I've definitely talked about you a little bit in my book. So as I mentioned, we're doing the investor guide. So that'll be available. That's on our website. Now you can register, send you a copy. But I've got a full length book as well coming out probably like 2021, Q1-ish, you know.
Yep.
It depends on how much time I put into it and grind it out. But that's about it, man. So you've inspired me, encouraged me, motivated me, and held me accountable through the process. So I appreciate it.
Always, man. Thanks for having me on as a guest, Abel. I really enjoyed it, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, Marcus.
All right, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the 5 Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. Each week, we're going to bring you interviews from other industry experts and commercial real estate investors who followed their dreams and achieved massive success. If you enjoyed this episode, then you're going to want a copy of our Passive Investor's Guide, Tackling Commercial Real Estate the Easy Way. It's the guide we use to invest in $93 million of commercial real estate. It's a 65-page ebook. It's a great resource to learn the basic mechanics of multifamily syndications. And we're going to show you how to evaluate your next passive investment opportunity. So if you subscribe to our podcast now, leave us a review and a rating, I'm going to give you a free copy. So take a moment to do that now. We'd appreciate it. And then you can register for the book at 5tcre.com/ebook, 5tcre.com/ebook. Let us know, and we're going to send you a copy. Thank you so much for subscribing to the 5 Talents Podcast.